Welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice. This is the show that's about taking your health, your body, and your life to the next level. That's why we feature interviews with thought leaders, health and fitness experts, best-selling authors, and more, all to help you take your life to the next level. And of course, what I say is that health and fitness form the foundation for success. So whether you're trying to be a better parent, a better businessman, a better businesswoman, a better business owner, a better and more successful person. And how cool was it if you listened to Ryan Mickler's last interview where he said that getting his health and fitness handled was the single best business decision he's ever made. And I got to tell you, it's so cool hearing it from someone who's not in the fitness business like myself, because I can't say that because I've done it for so long. That's why I was so excited to have him on the show. Anyway, let's talk about what you're going to hear in today's episode. You're going to learn how to boost your memory with exercise. Can core exercise reduce your stress? And how slower lifting yields better muscle and strength gains in the gym. But before we get to that, I want to thank our sponsor, Natural Stacks. And in celebration of their sponsorship of the Legendary Life Podcast, you will receive a 30% discount if you go to naturalstacks.com and type in TEDRYCE, my name, in other words, all capital letters, no space, Ted Rice, into the promo code area at checkout. And I got to tell you, I love Natural Stack supplements. In fact, you hear this? That's some Siltep in my hand, which is their nootropic. If you're interested in trying a nootropic, definitely recommend it. I also have some, probably can't hear that one, but it's a natural protein. It has a 2-to-1 mixture of whey protein from grass-fed cows and also collagen. So it's a 2-to-1 mixture. Collagen is very good if you have cartilage issues in your joints like I do. And if you take it like before you get cartilage issues, it may help prevent them. Of course, it's too late for me to tell you that because I've already done the damage. But it's a great protein powder. I noticed my left knee in particular started feeling better, and I have chondromalacia, which is the degeneration of the cartilage behind the kneecap. And also, the guy said, that the orthopedic surgeon said, that there was a lower space in between my two leg bones, my tibia and my fibula, and that is an indication of some degeneration of the meniscus, the medial meniscus, which is the inside of your leg. So if you have anything like that, you may want to consider taking their natural protein, their protein powder. And they also gave me a bunch of other stuff. It's like Christmas over here, and I'm just going to take a minute to talk about it. This isn't a review or plugging this stuff because I haven't had a chance to try it yet, but I've got their brain food, which is serotonin. It's it's like mood support. I've got their natural branch chain amino acids, and it contains beta-alanine. I've talked about beta-alanine before. I did take this today when I did my workout. I also have their biocreatine, which is very interesting. They have creatine, but it has fenugreek extract and Himalayan pink salt to help with uptake because that can be an issue with creatine. They gave me another bottle of MagTech, which I've already told you about. It's my favorite oral magnesium supplement. They gave me some krill oil, which I've taken fish oil before, but I've never taken krill oil. And I'll report back on that and whether I feel anything or not from taking it. Although, to be honest, I've taken fish oil for a long time. I never felt a difference from taking it. like I have some inflammatory issues, as you know, as I just spoke about, but I've never felt a difference. And I've experimented with really high dosages of fish oil and never felt a difference from taking it. Have you? I would be interested. Let me know. Give me a shoot over. I can't even speak English right now. Shoot over an email. Reach out to me on Facebook. They also gave me Prebiotic Plus. So I've got a ton of stuff over here. I'll be letting you know what I think of it. And I'm going to give you an honest review. And I'll break down the pricing on everything, because I think it's important to know. And they have some really cool supplements that I don't think you can really get anywhere else. But some of the other stuff, like creatine, that's available in a lot of different places. And so is krill oil, and so are branched-chain amino acids and the beta-alanine. And I've written about that. I've talked about both those before, and I'll give you the lowdown, and I'll give it to you honestly and what I think. Now, what I can say about Natural Stacks is they are high-quality supplements. So again, if you want to go over to naturalstacks.com and enjoy that 30% discount, it's only good until September 1st. Make sure you take advantage of that if you are into supplements. And speaking of which, I want to mention one more thing. I sent out an email about the supplements, and if you're on the list, you got it. Someone emailed me back and said, oh, something about they weren't sure if they were able to afford the supplements or not. And what I want to tell you is, if you don't have your exercise, your nutrition, and your sleep dialed in, you got no business spending your money on supplements. So don't do it. Supplements are supposed to supplement what you're doing already. So make sure you try the things that I've already talked about in this podcast, because if you're not on a good workout program, do you really think the creatine or the beta-alanine or the branched-chain amino acids are going to take you to the next level? No. And believe me, I've tried it before. I've experimented with that, probably thousands of supplements. And if you're not getting good sleep, do you think that taking some nootropics like Siltep or some MagTech is going to make up for it? No. Okay? So make sure you focus on the important things and take the supplements to supplement what you're already doing. Now, none of us are perfect 100% of the time, and I love experimenting with supplements. It's like, it's fun for me. I like to see if I can feel a difference. But I have all the other stuff that I don't want to say I have it handled, but I know what to do, and I do good things most of the time, right? The majority of the time, I'm paying attention to my nutrition, my sleep, and my exercise. So that said, let's get to it. I know that was like 10 minutes of kind of a plug there, but you do have a limited amount of time, and I just wanted to throw that out there before we get started. So let's get into how to boost your memory with exercise, because I thought this was super interesting. So here's what happened. Researchers at the Donders Institute for Brain Cognition and Behavior at Radboud University, I probably murdered that pronunciation, but in the Netherlands, and University of Edinburgh, have begun to explore the connection between boosting memory and exercise and the timing of exercise. And they published a study. They had 72 healthy adult men and women and spent 40 minutes undergoing a standard test of visual and spatial learning. Afterward, they all watched nature documentaries, hopefully entertaining ones, and two-thirds of them also exercised. Half were put through interval training on exercise bicycles for 30 minutes immediately after completing the test. The others did the same workout, but 4 hours after the test. 2 days later, everyone returned to the lab and repeated the original computerized test while an MRI machine scanned their brain activity. Those who exercised for 4 hours after the test recognized and recreated the picture locations most accurately. So their brain activity was also different as well, showing a more consistent pattern of neural activity, whatever that means, right? So the study's authors suggest that their brains might have been functioning more efficiently because they had learned the pattern so fully. But why delaying exercise for 4 hours was more effective than immediate workout, than an immediate workout, remains a mystery. So if you want to boost your memory with exercise, you want to make sure that you learn whatever it is that you're trying to learn and wait at least 4 hours afterward. That's supposed to boost your memory, your learning. Very interesting. Also, this I'm not doing an episode on this right now, but we also know that taking a nap can help with learning as well if you do that right afterward. I'll dive into that in another episode when I have time to learn about it first. So give that a try. If you have a test coming up, a presentation, a PowerPoint thing that you're going to be presenting on, try going over it and then 4 hours later, exercising, doing some interval training is what they did for 35 minutes and see if it boosts your brain activity. And we know, and I've done episodes on this before, that exercise, specifically aerobic exercise, which they didn't specify what capacity they were working in, but I'm sure it was pretty aerobic if you're doing 35 minutes of it, that aerobic exercise can increase the amount of neurons in your brain, specifically in your hippocampus, which is an area of your brain that's concerned with learning, spatial memory, and perhaps even creativity. So let's move on to our next topic, which is about core exercise. And this comes from, and it's about core exercise and its effects on stress. And this comes from an article I read in The Atlantic. And the title of it is Why One Neuroscientist Started Blasting His Core. So we all know that you can think about a very stressful situation. Let's say you think about some bills that you have to pay and you can't pay them, or perhaps you're worried about your one of your kids going out for the night to some party that's some type of situation that can raise your stress hormones, right? And you also know that perhaps thinking of a good thought can influence your stress as well. What they didn't know, or what we weren't sure of and never thought about, at least, I say we, but I'm talking about the scientist here, that your stress response might be influenced by pure movement. And the neuroscientist involved tells the story of how he was very stressed and people were telling him, hey, just do some yoga, just go and, exercise, do Pilates, and that'll help you with your stress. But he said, as far as I'm concerned, there's no scientific evidence that this is going to help me. So what he ended up doing was doing some research. And just to go over the stress response really quickly, the stress response in humans is facilitated by the adrenal glands, which sits on top of your kidneys and releases adrenaline and also cortisol. You probably heard that one, into your blood whenever you're in need of that fight or flight response. And adrenaline is what gets things going. Cortisol is what keeps them going, is a very simple but effective way of thinking about it. So the stress response is crucial in dire circumstances. It's what helped our ancestors survive their very dangerous environment of the past. It helped them run from predators. It helped them hunt food. It helped them defend themselves against saber-toothed tigers and angry neighboring tribes. But in our modern world, at least if you're living in the US, if you're living in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Canada, little of our modern life truly requires it. Most of the time, our stress response is operating as sort of a background hum, keeping us on edge. And if we are able to turn that off, we relax. And in the past, scientists were pretty clear that there were only a few cortical areas, a few parts of the brain that deal with high-level executive functioning, our beliefs, and existential understandings of ourselves. However, they never considered that exercise itself, just the pure movement, not thinking about exercise, but the actual movement would help decrease the stress response. And again, we're talking pure movement here. You've probably heard me talk about how aerobic exercise decreases stress because of the chemicals involved and all that, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the stimulation of certain muscles, just the pure movement stuff here, the pure like nerve impulse to the muscles to cause it to contract. So what they discovered was that there is an elaborate network in the cerebral cortex that controls the adrenal medulla. And it seems that the connections between the brain and the adrenal medulla are much more elaborate. And they found complex networks throughout the primary sensory and motor cortices are tied directly to our stress response. So in other words, your primary sensory, so what you smell, what you hear, what you feel, what you see, what you taste, and your motor cortices, which are the things that help you control your movements, are directly tied to our stress response. And I won't want to go into too much into how they figured this out because it involves animal testing and might rub some of you the wrong way. But I want you to know, in case you go and read this article in the show notes for this episode. So what the scientists said was, there's all this evidence that core strengthening has an impact on stress. And when you see someone that's depressed or stressed out, you notice changes in their posture. When you stand upright, it has an effect on how you project yourself and how you feel. Well, lo and behold, core muscles have an impact on stress. And I suspect that if you activate core muscles inappropriately with poor posture, that's going to have an impact on stress. So it's pretty cool that they found this connection between the motor cortices of your brain and the muscles of your core. So your trunk muscles or your axial muscles, core, because core is not really a scientific name. It's just like the marketing term. I mean, I say core because I don't want to get too geeky with you and nerd out and lose some of you. Like, what is he talking about? Trunk muscles, right? So it's really interesting. And I want to ask you, have you ever noticed that you feel less stressed when you work your core? I don't know if I can say that I've ever felt that, but it is interesting. So if you're not doing core exercise, you may want to. And this is a little bit hard to discern between, like, okay, well, if I'm doing a back squat, isn't that working core exercise, core muscles? Or a pull-up works the front of your core, your abdominals. But I want you to pay attention to it, and it may be a good reason to add more specific core exercise into your routine. Try it out. Let me know if you notice a difference. I do a lot of core right now. I've gone back and forth over the years, believe it or not, on core exercise, abdominal exercise. I used to not do it that much. Then I did it a lot. Then I went through a period of not doing it that much. And now I use it a lot. There's something about feeling strong in that area that I really enjoy. As well as if you directly work the muscles, you notice them more. And by the way, if that sounds super weird to you and you're thinking, well, why would you ever not want to work that area? Some top strength coaches say you don't need to work your core. You just do the core lifts, meaning deadlifts, squats, power clean, snatches, etc., bench press, military press. And that works your core enough. You don't need to do direct core exercise. That's what some strength coaches say, like Charles Poliquin has said that. I don't know if he's still saying that, but he's a big deal strength coach, has been on the Tim Ferriss show. but he's been around for a long time. I've been reading his stuff for the over probably 20 years. And he said that. Now, I use a lot of core exercise now, just FYI. And if you're in my fitness coaching program, or if you've bought the workouts, you know that you're doing a lot of core exercise, because I'm just so sold on that idea, especially if you're not an athlete, meaning you're not playing a sport or engaging in martial arts. I really think it's important. And here's another reason why. So let's get to the last bit of news that I have for you today, and then we'll wrap things up. So there was, in this last part, it's on why slower lifting yields better muscle and strength gains. And I'll tell you, one of the top mistakes I see people make in the gym is when their goal is to work their bodies to look better, to build muscle, to get stronger, and then they're powering through reps as fast as they can. They're pumping out reps like crazy. And I talked about this in my episode on time under tension training. But here's some more recent research from Brad Schoenfeld, who's been on this show before, The Science of Fat Loss. So make sure you check out that episode if you haven't. It's a great one. Brad is super knowledgeable. I would love to get him back on the show. So what they did in this study is they compared fast speed with slow speed on resistance training exercises. And what they did was they tested strength and then they measured muscle. They had 12 healthy adults and they were randomly assigned to the fast speed and the low speed groups. Then they measured muscle growth by ultrasound, and they had them do a strength test with a one rep maximum. That means they saw how much weight they could lift for one rep. So they did pre and post training, and between the groups, they compared statistically what happened. And they found that the people who lifted slower had more muscle growth and did better on the strength test. Now, it doesn't tell you what the speeds were, which is kind of weird. So I want to give you an example of what you can do in your workouts to benefit from this. And if you're in my coaching program, you already know I hammer this home all the time. But take 1 to 2 seconds to lift, but you better be spending 3 to 5 seconds on the negative. So what is the negative? It's the lowering portion of an exercise. So let's say you're doing a squat. In fact, if you can do this, if you're in the gym right now, you can use whatever exercise that you're currently doing or about to do. If you're at home, you can do this with us too. And if you're driving, then please don't do this. It might not work out so well for you. But what you do is take a squat or whatever exercise that you're currently doing. And if you're running, you could try this. I want you to take 5 seconds on the way down and don't count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't count like that, okay? In fact, I use a metronome. In fact, this is a little pro tip right here. I'm going to let you listen to my metronome here. I have a metronome app. And whenever I'm doing 10-second negatives, or I'm having trouble with a client who is just not getting the idea that you have to spend more time on the way down, I put on the metronome. And this is a free app, and it's called Pro Metronome. And I set it for 60 beats per minute. The tempo is 60 beats. And if you have a fancy one, like the one I have, make sure it's 4/4 time. That's 4 quarter notes. For all my musicians probably get that. But if you're not a musician, you want to make sure it's 4/4 time, or else you can get some funky beats. But 4/4 time, those are even beats, and 60 beats per minute. And then you hear that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? That's how long you should take. So working out with a metronome can really help you dial in your lifting speed and dial in your technique. And what you may find is that you're not as strong when you're going that slow, but here's the benefit. You get more strength. Now, I want to ask you, are you in the gym to show off how much weight you can lift, to show off how fast you can do your reps, or are you in the gym to show off your body the rest of the time that you're outside the gym? And some of you are probably saying yes to both, or you do want to show off in the gym, but I highly encourage you to do things the right way. Lower the weight, use a slower speed, because if you don't, the people who do listen to me are going to be outlifting you, and you're not going to be showing off in the gym anymore because they got up way more strong. They got a lot stronger and built more muscle than you did with your fast, like rabbit reps, right? So that's what I want you to take. 1 to 2 seconds to lift, then 5 seconds on the way down. So give me some squats, some push-ups, some bench press, whatever you're doing. Take 5 seconds. Now, I said 3 to 5, but start with 5 first and experiment with it a little bit, and then you can go from there. Then take 2 seconds to lift. So take 5 seconds on the way down, then 2 seconds, 1 or 2 seconds to lift. That means you lift, you know, pretty quickly. So there you have it. There's the episode. Just a brief recap. So how do you boost your memory with exercise? What you want to do is study first, then wait at least 4 hours, then you exercise. And what type of exercise do you do? Aerobic exercise or aerobic intervals, something that you can keep up for, say, 35 minutes or so. And you can do a minute on, minute off. So a minute fast, a minute slow, a minute fast, a minute slow. You can do that. Make sure you can keep it up for 35 minutes. That's going to be in your aerobic zone, somewhere in there, right? So the second thing is that core exercise may reduce your stress. So whenever you're feeling stressed, give that a try. Do some front planks, some side planks, some V-ups, some hanging leg raises, some front levers if you're a gymnast, right? If you're a gymnast strong. But do some core exercise, see if it makes a difference. And lastly, make sure that you're using the appropriate lifting speed for your goals. And if your goal is to build muscle and to build strength, and it isn't to increase your power endurance, or if you don't even know what power endurance is, then focus on slower lifting speeds. If you're there for fitness, to change your body, to burn calories, to build some muscle, burn fat, to get stronger, slow down the lifting speed. All right. There are times when you're doing high intensity interval training where the rep should be fast. And there's some other times where it should be fast. Like I said, power endurance training. Like if you were a boxer who wanted to throw harder punches for longer, that's what power endurance is. Then there's a time for that type of training, but they're not doing it to look better. It's to get a specific result in a sport. So train the right way, slow down on your strength training moves, and reap the benefits. That's all I've got. Make sure you go to naturalstacks.com. Use that discount code TEDRYCE for a 30% discount. It's only good until September 1st. That means you have less than 48 hours to make that happen, and it's a one-time use only. And before I go, I want to announce that we're launching a 30-day challenge. I know some of you are hesitant to buy the workouts or to join the coaching group. So I just want to give you a little teaser here. We are going to launch a 30-day challenge. This is for the people who aren't in the fitness coaching group or following the workouts, because you get a lot more if you actually, you know, buy into the program. But this is for all the people who either can't afford that and still want to get their health and fitness handled. I want to do something nice for you. or if you're just new and you want to test the waters, if you haven't been listening and you're not sure if I know what I'm talking about yet, this is for you. We will send out an email. So make sure you go to legendarylightpodcast.com and challenge. So legendarylightpodcast.com/challenge, and you will get to the right place. Sign up and get rolling. We're going to launch the challenge on the first. So if you want to be part of it, I would love you to be part of it. That's all I've got. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.